I invite you to open up in your copy of God's Word to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, it's found on, I think, page 1288 of the Bibles provided for you. Well, last week in the morning service, we looked at the first part of James chapter 1. And we learned that when we face various trials, when we're going to learn that how to react, how to live in the midst of that, how to have joy in the midst of trials, which is very easy to say, but hard to do. And what do we learn about trials? But they're inevitable. They often come unexpectedly, and they vary in degree and type. And it's something we've felt very really, a reality of that even this week. And next, here in this passage, in this part of the passage, verses 5 through 8, we learn how to endure trials in wisdom. So let's hear now God's word. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 8. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let's now, having read God's word, let's pray that he would bless it to us. Oh, Father, as we read your word, we ask that you would give us wisdom, that we may navigate the trials of this life in a way that is pleasing to you. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, as you heard in part of my testimony that I gave tonight, my one-minute testimony, I am, in fact, the son of a fisherman. My dad is a fisherman in Cape May, New Jersey, where he right now catches scallops, and he goes out to sea 7 to 10 days at a time and works really hard. And I, in my youth, would go out with him at times. Not my favorite thing, because I get seasick. Extremely seasick, in fact. But by God's design, I went out there and I spent some summers and some different times in between college breaks, spending time with my dad and fishing on the sea. So not only do I get seasick, but the winds and the waves make the boat go up and down. And one time, I was fishing in the wintertime around Christmas. I went out during Christmas break in college. And when I was out there, the winds and the waves increased. The winds were up into the 70-mile-an-hour range. The boat was going to and fro, and we were continuing to work. But as it got worse and worse, we decided that we needed to take action and prepare for the storm. Well, how do you prepare for the storm? Well, you don't just shut the engines off and allow it to be tossed to and fro by the waves and the wind, the boat. No, but what a good sea captain does is he points the nose of the boat, the bow of the boat, into the storm and pushes into it. It's a rough ride for sure, but it's the way that you manage to make it through the storm. It's the way you navigate, no matter where the wind has come from, right into the storm and press forward. Well, as we've experienced this week and many other weeks for many of you, we experience storms in our lives. The winds and the waves come upon us. Not only do we have to deal with doubt, but we have to deal with, how do I understand this? And how do I react to the storms in life? How do I navigate this with a godly zeal and understanding, with integrity? Well, I believe that James really helps us to understand that what we really need is wisdom. It's one thing to have knowledge, but it's another thing to have wisdom. So previously, James told us to keep joy. You can have joy when you're in trials of these various kinds, when you suffer. And that's easy to say. And as you know, storms in life are real. And there are legitimate questions we should be asking ourselves. But what we should really be doing is turning our attention to the one who gives answers. We should be turning our attention to the Lord, the one who gives wisdom from above, that we might understand the storms of life, and we might understand how to react to them and live out our faith faithfully in them. So tonight, the Lord gives you wisdom needed to remain steady in the storms of life. The Lord gives you wisdom that you need to remain steady in the storms of life. But first, we must acknowledge that we need wisdom. We need to acknowledge that we need wisdom. Look at verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given. As we looked last week in the first four verses, we learned that these trials, that we're to remain joyful in them, and they're unexpected. And these trials are meant for a purpose. They're to test our faith. They're to strengthen us and to grow us. If you remember what it says at the end of those verses, verse 4, it says, to complete us, so that we're lacking in nothing. It's to make us more like Christ, to make us complete. And in this passage this evening, we learn how to deal with trials and struggles with wisdom. Authors of books often use many words and phrases, try to connect the dots of their story. A good story, right? They're connecting the dots. Well, here, James, and we talked about last week, James is a book of Proverbs, essentially. Proverbs of the New Testament. Little pearls along the way. And so in order to connect these thoughts, how do we connect the thoughts of wisdom and trials? Well, he uses one word. Remember what he says in verse 4. He says, to make you complete, lacking in nothing. And then here in verse 5, he uses that same little word again. It's like James is saying, if you lack wisdom, and I hope you're saying to yourself, you do, you lack wisdom, you must, or you should, it says, but that word is a command, it's an imperative, you must ask for it. So trials are meant to complete you, to give you what you're lacking. And then we must acknowledge that we're lacking, and we need wisdom. We need the wisdom of God. The question is, do you really believe it? Do you believe that you lack wisdom? Or are you like a little child who wants to do it on their own? If you guys remember those like octagon-y looking shape things where you put the circle in the circle one and the square in the square one, the little kids, and you can pop it open and you try to help the kids and figure out the circle goes in the circle, yet they're trying to put it in the square, but they don't want to listen to you. They want to try to do it on their own, but they can't do it. Oftentimes, that's us. We keep trying to do things our own way, and even to our own detriment. We lack wisdom. And if we think we're wise, that's just conceited. We think we're strong, we think we're wise, we can make it through the trials of this life without God, that's just conceit. So first, we must acknowledge that we need wisdom. And that requires humility. And humble ourselves. Remember what it says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and He will make straight your paths. You see this? We're not to lean on our own understanding, but we're to acknowledge God, and He will make our paths straight. He will help us navigate the trials of this life, the storms of this life. Just another army story for you. When we are getting ready to leave Iraq, we have what's called a RIP TOA. RIP meaning relief in place and a transfer of authority, where one unit is taking over as the other one is leaving. And in that meantime, you're working together. You're working together so that the new unit can learn all the things you've learned in the previous year that you spent there. And we were replaced by a unit that was pretty conceited. Now, they knew how to be infantrymen, and they knew how to shoot guns, they knew how to talk on radios, but they hadn't driven these roads that we had for the last year. They weren't willing to receive what they had, what we had to give them. They were conceited. And sad to say, they suffered some casualties in their first couple months until they learned some of those lessons. See, they lacked wisdom in that particular job. And oftentimes in our Christian walk, we lack a lot of wisdom, and we don't ask the Lord for that wisdom. And so it's good for us to understand the difference between wisdom and knowledge. See, knowledge is gaining of facts, but wisdom is the practical use of knowledge. Wisdom is putting into practice the righteousness of God in our everyday lives. One commentator called it intellectual knowledge with godly discernment. Intellectual knowledge with godly discernment. And as James taught in these first four wisdoms, our first four verses, wisdom doesn't have anything to do with our circumstances. Wisdom has nothing to do with our circumstances. We often want to blame our circumstances, and that gives credibility to our response. You know, I acted angrily because you did something to me, or life's really hard, so I responded like this. You know, like if I had all the money in the world, you know, I could make everything right. I could do things well. I didn't have to worry about money. Or if my spouse was just a little more understanding, or if I had the right job, I wouldn't be discontent. But it only takes a little quick look around the world to show that's not the case. You see, man has assumed and consumed a lot of information, but there's no showing of any wisdom. Think about it. All the medical technology and its advances, curing cancer, fixing things in the body that are beyond my understanding, completely beyond my understanding. Yet, we can't see that the beating heart of a child is a life. We can't tell the difference between a boy or a girl. We've been given such wealth beyond any generation that's come before us, and we've enjoyed such pleasures that are beyond belief. And yet people aren't satisfied. People suffer with anxiety and depression, and you can name it beyond what we can think. So the wisdom of this world is foolishness. True wisdom can't be bought with silver or gold, like Job says. Where can we find wisdom? Job goes on to say, from God says this, "Behold, the fear of the Lord. That is wisdom. And the turning away from evil is understanding." Fear and honoring God and turning away from evil, that's wisdom. That's real understanding. So godly wisdom defines the difference between what I can do and what I should do. Yes, I can do that, but what should I really do? Think about it. Back in the Garden of Eden, wasn't that the sin of Adam and Eve? When they looked at the fruit, what did they say? It's pleasing to the eye. Look, it even tastes good. I didn't die. But what was the reality? It led to their death. That's worldly wisdom. But we must be governed by godly wisdom that has discernment. And we must put it into practice. See, we do that sometimes with our Bible reading, don't we? We're trying to find knowledge, which is good. We want to understand the stories of Scripture, the doctrines of God, the doctrines of man, understand about heaven. But if we're not applying God's Word, if we're not taking it and applying it to our situations in life, I challenge you, guys ever done the ABC Bible study? We analyze the Bible, the Scripture that we're reading. We determine that best verse for us that day. And then we make a godly commitment. We apply that word to our situation, to our lives. Take God's word. Understand it, that you might have wisdom. Because you lack it. You need the knowledge from God. And secondly, we need to anticipate the giving of wisdom. Look at the end of verse 5. It says, God will give. He will give the wisdom that we lack. Reminds me of Jesus said, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. See, giving of wisdom is part of God's character. God loves to give to his people. Jesus promised in Luke 21 that he would give his disciples wisdom to go out and speak the truth. He'd give them the words to say when they face different situations. It could be simplistic maybe to say that God will give wisdom, but that's true. God will give you wisdom. He promises it. It says here that God is undivided in his giving of wisdom. That word generously in our text, in ESV, has a root in the word as single. So the idea here is that God is single-minded. He's unified in his focus to give you wisdom, give you the wisdom that you needed, that you need. He won't withhold it from you. He won't close his hand and take it away from you when you ask for it. No, he gives it in abundance. He's a gracious giver. He delights to give to his people good gifts. So even in the darkness of this life, God, our Lord, is ready to give you great wisdom. And he gives without reproach. He's ready to pour out wisdom to you. He doesn't hold it against you. One of our huge fears, I think, often is in asking for help, is it that we're going to be made fun of or people think we're weak or stupid. But that's not the way with God. God is generous. And James is taking away every obstacle for you asking God for wisdom. You can come to him a thousand times, and he wants to hear from you. And he isn't bothered by your frequency of giving or asking. He doesn't say, come back tomorrow, I'll give you what you need then. No, he understands that you depend on him and you need his wisdom. So come to him. But don't come demanding. Don't come demanding. God, give me this. Give me that. I want this. No, we must come humbly. And learn, like Paul says, that I've been brought low, and I've known how it is to be abounding in everything. In every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty or hunger, in abundance and need. See, Paul understood that the Lord was his strength. That in all these circumstances of life, no matter the ups and downs of life, God would provide all he needed. And so we acknowledge that we need wisdom. We go to God and anticipate him giving us wisdom. And then we learn how to ask for wisdom. We ask for wisdom in faith. As he says in verses 6 through 8. But let him ask in faith, without doubting. For the one who doubts is like the waves of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So we're called to ask in faith. Faith is the central teaching of James and all of Scripture. And it's integral to our life in Christ. We already talked about being humbled when we ask God. Now James turns now the attention on the sincerity of our prayers, the sincerity of our asking for wisdom. Do you really want wisdom? Then ask in faith. Get on your knees and pray. Cry out to the Lord. This situation I have in work is impossible for me to understand how to navigate. My coworker is really hard to deal with. Lord, I need your wisdom on how to be loving. This pain in my body is too much to bear. How do I continue on? My family's falling apart. Lord, I need your wisdom. I don't know how I'm going to make it through this next month. The money's not there. Oh God, I need your wisdom. So it's not demanding, but it's humbly becoming for God and submitting to his direction. And it requires great patience and no doubting. Remember what God says, what Jesus said about the man of faith, the man of wisdom. He builds his house upon the rock. He builds his house upon the rock. For when those waves come, those rains come, the storms come, it will not fall down. Not like the foolish man who builds his house on the sand. So why is it that as we look out into our culture, are people so unable to face the grinds of life? Because they don't have the wisdom of God to endure such storms. And maybe that's you here this evening. Storms are coming in all around you. You're being pounded by this life. You don't know how to deal with it. You have nowhere to turn. You've turned to all the things of this world, and you found no satisfaction in them. I tell you today, there is good news. Wisdom can be found in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God made flesh for us. The one who went to the cross to pay a penalty that we could not. Turn to him. I invite you to turn to him. So James tells us to come and find wisdom without doubting. And here in that doubting, and he talks about a divided man, right? A two, what's the word say here? A double-minded man. Well, that word translated double-minded is really double-souled. Person who's divided. Remember, we talked about God being singular focused and giving good gifts to his people. Well, God, people that are double-minded are separated in their loyalties. They want to serve God with their mouth, but they don't serve him with their lives. They're a double-souled man. They want to play it both ways. They've seen the wisdom of God, and yet they follow their own way. They go in their own direction. Jesus says you can only serve one master. So who controls you? Are you serving Christ? Are you a double-minded person, a double-souled person? James warns you that if you're asking for wisdom with a double mind, you will not find it. Well, as believers in Christ, we can push through the storms of life. We can navigate the storms of life through wisdom that comes from God, powered by faith in the living God, that he will direct us and he will give us what we need. We serve the God who can say to the winds and the waves, be still. This is the God you serve. This is the one who brings wisdom. Say in your mind and your heart, I believe, O God, help my unbelief. So during these storms, what are the first things you pray for? Do you pray to take, remove, heal, alleviate? Or is it first to plead for wisdom? James said, if you lack for wisdom, ask God. Recognize that God will give it. because God can only supply it. Anticipate with confidence that God will give it to you, and you will receive it. This is God's promise. This is his guarantee. May he grant that to us, the godly wisdom, to live this life in the midst of struggles and trials. Amen. Father, we need your wisdom, which is from above. We are all undergoing different trials and struggles in this life. Father, we ask that you would provide us all we need, that we might act rightly, that we may apply your word to our lives, that we might live according to Christ and your word. Lord, where I was unable to proclaim what was said here in your word, may it be clear in the hearts of your people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to open up your Psalters to Psalm 90B, 90 Selection B.